All right, welcome back to Pop Ranks, where we rank the best and worst of pop culture. I am your co-host, Eric Wickstrom.
And I'm your other co-host, Scott Carroll.
And this week, we are going to be looking at our favorite heroes from cinema.
The good guys.
Right, the good guys. And again, only in cinema, no television.
No TV, no documentaries. Real life stuff, I've got one that kind of borders on it.
Yeah. I think looking at our lists,
It's fictional, but it I guess you could say it borders on it.
Right. I think we have five people in common and five people not in common.
So okay. Let's
start with our in common people.
Okay.
Rocky made the list.
Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion. Yeah, I mean, Rocky was an interesting choice. I was going back and forth between Rocky and Rambo. I'm like, well, Rambo kills a lot of people, saves a lot of people, but Rocky is very inspirational and means a lot to a lot of people, and it's all about, you know, going the distance, standing up for yourself, being the best you can be, living to your best potential, and I think that's admirable. So yes. I went with Rocky.
And Rambo, I would say, is an anti-hero, not really a straight hero, kind of like a John Wick, who did not make the list, murders thousands of people.
He's probably got the body count tally probably in cinema. I don't know about that, but
yeah, it's got to be. He's way up there for sure. So neither one of them made my list, but I think more for that reason that they're anti-heroes. Yes, Rocky. There's been, was there eight movies now with Rocky?
Yeah, six in the original series, and then now the two Creed films. I mean, there's been three Creed films, but he's been in the first two.
Right, and the story with Stallone, he sold the rights to the character, right? Or the producer owns the rights?
In order to get it done, I mean, they basically...
Who's that, Winkler? Who owns the...
Erwin Winkler.
Yeah,
one of the producers.
The rights to Rocky.
So and I know Stallone, in his later years, he's been fighting socially anyway to try to get the rights back because he feels that's his legacy and he wants to pass it on to his kids and whatever, and Winkler's holding firm.
Yeah, he's not getting it back, it doesn't look like. So again, kind of middle of my list, but we'll get into the rankings later. Another name we had in common, Ellen Ripley.
Yes, I'm glad you put Ripley on the list. I just, who would you want by your side on an alien and hostile alien planet with chest-bursting aliens that are coming after you? Who would you want by your side other than Sigourney Weaver, a.k.a. Ellen Ripley?
Great, great character. In fact, there's a lot of... My list, there's at least three or four women on my list.
Okay.
She's the highest-ranked one.
Sigourney Weaver got her 1986 Oscar nomination for that role when she played it the second time. She's played the character four times now. I think she was let down the last two times. I was not a big fan of Alien 3 when it came out, and even lesser of a fan of Alien Resurrection when it came out. But the first two, perfect double feature. Brilliant.
Definitely peaked with number two, but one is very good as well, and she's a fantastic character. I'm wondering, and this again, why I think television, we're going to do an episode on villains as well, but I think TV lends itself sometimes to more interesting character development because you have more to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my list, everybody on my list has been in multiple, especially the top six, seven of my list, everybody's been in multiple films. So I'm thinking maybe that influenced some of my vote, that the characters are able to be developed over, instead of having to do a standalone, they've developed over decades.
Yeah, mine too. There's a few on my list that have saved the world a few times, and I'm like, well, how can they not make a top 10 list?
There's only two on my list.
Heroism.
Yeah, there's only two on my list, or I guess there's three on my list that were only in one film, so everybody else is multiple. So, also a comment on both our lists, Indiana Jones.
Harrison Ford is his signature, although I'll argue Han Solo, but I guess his signature role really is Indiana Jones. Played it five times?
Yeah. Yeah, and three times in good movies.
Not a big fan of the last two?
Well, I'm definitely not a big fan of Crystal Skull. That's everybody's least favorite. One of the most disappointing films I've ever attended, just because of the hype and the excitement for it, and it was what a turd. A terrible movie.
I mean, the opening scene. I mean, a lot of the action scenes, obviously, in any action films, goes over the top. But, I mean, everybody talks about it, but that refrigerator scene with the nuclear blast and it goes off like a rocket, just bouncing off of rocks and cliffs and hillsides. And yeah, that kind of jumped the shark a little bit there on that moment.
It was a bad, I mean, no dumber than the inflatable raft falling out
that
of
too.
The plane in number two.
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
But Temple of Doom is a much, much better film than that one. But in Indiana Jones, one of the certainly coolest characters.
Yeah, created
in the history
by
of
George
cinema.
Lucas, right?
Yes.
Directed by Spielberg for the first four, and then James Mangold just did the Dial of Destiny, which I thought was pretty good. I didn't think it was as good as the original three.
Nowhere near.
But
as
a
good.
Step up from, as you said, the
huge
Crystal
step
Skull.
Up from the fourth one. But that's not saying anything at all. It's still, you know, nowhere. It's a mile away from the first three in terms of enjoyability and certainly rewatchability. Kind of boring, which is like there's no adventure, there's no exploration. You know, there's one scene where they're trying to get there and they're through the caves, and then
That was the most reminiscent of the original
trilogy, but that was only like 10 minutes of the whole film.
So
Indiana Jones, certainly an amazing character and one of my favorites. Two more we have in common. John McClane,
Bruce Willis, Die Hard. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
There it is.
But that was a movie that kind of came out of the blue. I mean, he was coming off of Moonlight. Obviously, he found television success in Moonlight. You know, got cast as John McClane. From what I read, they originally wanted Mel Gibson in that role. He was on kind of a hot streak with Lethal Weapon, so they wanted him to do, I think Lethal Weapon came out first, and then he wanted to do Die Hard. But Willis got the part, and I think that defined His cinematic future and his persona.
That set his life on a course.
Similar character to David Addison in Moonlight in terms of the sarcasm and the wit.
Yes, but, perfectly cast, and I think he brought a lot of himself to the role for sure. Willis was always that kind of guy in real life too. Great character. Talking of Mel Gibson, that's one that didn't make my list, but probably certainly could have, is Martin Riggs.
Oh, Martin Riggs. Definitely great character.
Yeah. I'm debating right now that I should have done that.
There's talk they're going to do part five. I mean, apparently, we're getting off on a tangent with Mel Gibson, but I guess Richard Donner obviously passed away, the director of the first four films, and kind of expressed to Mel Gibson that if he passed away, would he consider doing a fifth film, which Mel Gibson did. They've got a script. Last I heard, they were going to start filming it this spring. I actually saw Danny Glover in the fall at a convention.
Yep.
And I asked him about that. And he's like, he goes, you tell me, brother, it's news to me. I haven't heard anything yet. And I said, okay.
Yeah,
so maybe that report, it was a little.
He's also way too old for that shit, let's be honest.
Anyway, we're getting back to John McClane.
Yeah, McClane's a great character. I think they did 5 Die Hards.
The last one was awful.
Was that the one with the kid from the Apple commercials?
Yeah, A Good Day to Die. No. Was that? Yeah, A Good Day to Die Hard, where it goes to Russia because his son's also.
Which one was
operative.
Oliphant in?
Which one?
Oh, Timothy Oliphant.
That was Live Free or Die Hard, number four.
That was four.
Good. I enjoyed that one. You didn't like that one?
Eh, it was all right.
Oh, I enjoyed that one. But it was, oh my God, what a step down on A Good Day to Die Hard. And what a terrible swan song for that character. You know, it was
awful. Bruce Willis, obviously very, very ill. And,
we wish him well, though. We do wish him well.
Yeah, it's a sad story with Bruce Willis. So that character is now, at least Bruce Willis playing it, is going to be retired for sure. But fun character. Certainly the first two were great. Three, didn't love three. It was all right. Four was fun. Five.
Yeah, a lot of people like three second most. I don't, but a lot of people do.
Oh, God.
The only problem with that character that I always found is, I mean, the first one's brilliant. The first one is an action classic. And
right.
If you haven't seen it, I can't imagine you haven't, but do yourself a favor, watch Die Hard right now. But it's just, he's an everyman that gets thrust into this incredible situation. He's just a New York City cop.
It redefined, it spawned how many retellings of the same story, ripoffs, direct ripoffs, some acknowledged it, at least, like the Under Siege, Die Hard on a boat. Everything
Snakes
was Die
on
Hard.
A plane.
Everything was Die Hard somewhere else for a long time. Kind of like what Pulp Fiction did to films in the 90s,
sure.
with everybody's the way they were structuring them and the scripts and all the weird characters. Pulp Fiction changed films for so long, and Die Hard did the same thing for action movies. Still to this day, it's always Die Hard somewhere else.
Yeah.
So.
The only problem is every time they make a sequel to Die Hard, because the first one, he's supposed to be, again, just an everyman, you know,
right.
Not a superhero, just a guy who kind of, he's smart and he's inventive. but he's, you know, he's kind of on his own and trying to work his way through this terrorist slash thievery takeover of a building. But every time they do a sequel, he becomes kind of more and more superhuman, and it kind of gets away, which is what happens with sequels, and it kind of gets away from the original premise. And I read, it's probably canned now, they were going to do a prequel. And I'm like, well, if they do a prequel, they're going to have to make the action on the level of the other films.
Right.
And if it's a prequel, then it's setting him up to be a superhero in the original film, which I think totally undermines what it was trying to do. But anyway, I digress.
Right. So again, John McClane, fun character, played brilliantly by Bruce Willis. Definitely the one you think about when you think of Bruce Willis.
Absolutely.
And then the last one we have in common, Batman. Now, this one's challenging because, you know, I guess we're just picking the character for this, not a particular portrayal, because I don't know if I have a favorite Batman per se.
I do.
Yeah, who's your favorite Batman?
Christian Bale, all the way.
Yeah?
I'm a Bale guy all the way.
I kind of like Adam West.
Well, there've been so many incarnations.
I still love the original campiness of the series.
Yeah, I mean, it has its place in time,
yes,
for sure.
If we're talking Dark Knight, then I guess Bale. Although this last one, Patterson, what's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Yeah.
He wasn't terrible. That was a pretty good movie.
No, he was good. I would say—
And Keaton was good, too.
Of all the Batman films, I think his entrance in The Batman with Robert Pattinson was the best.
Yeah.
It was just the echoing sound of his footsteps coming out of the darkness and these gang members assaulting someone.
The character's great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And again, I like Michael Keaton playing him. Kilmer did okay. Clooney was
Yeah.
But that, I don't know if that was Clooney's fault as much as just Joel Schumacher completely jumping
the shark. I think he dropped the ball completely. But, I mean, that character's been around since 1940. I mean, Bob Kane, obviously, everybody knows. Bob Kane created him in 1940. I mean, he's been on numerous TV shows, cartoons, movies, numerous comic books.
Yes.
Movie serials. That was the first kind of cinematic incarnation of Batman. And then, you know, then we had this series in the 60s, and then obviously the movies kicked off, as you said, with Michael Keaton.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that it took so long to do a movie, because you had, you know, the series, like I said, in the 60s, and the book came out in the 40s, and then the first movie didn't come out until the 80s.
And when it did, I mean, the tone, the dark tone of it, a lot of people were put off by that. I thought it was, that way, but a lot of
people— You're talking about Tim Burton's original?
Yeah. I mean, he was coming off the success of Superman, which is probably why Batman got greenlit, but then it was a very dark telling of Batman.
Yeah.
A lot of people were coming off of, this isn't like Adam West and the campiness.
Right.
The colorfulness and all that stuff.
I really, it's a definite departure. I enjoy the take on it. Burton did a good job. I liked the second one as well with Keaton. You know, there haven't been too many bad Batman movies, with the exception of
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin was horrible.
And I liked Batman Forever at the time.
It was fine.
Because Jim Carrey was the Riddler, and I thought he was really fun. He kind of overshadowed everything.
Yeah,
he
stole the movie.
He's got such a big personality.
He stole the movie.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so Batman, that's the last one we have in common. So let's go through some of the ones we don't have in common. Go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going to go with He appears on a lot of lists, and I've seen the movie, and it's a fantastic character. There's actually a Broadway version of it, I think, still running now here in New York. Atticus Finch.
Okay.
From To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, that's, you know, obviously Harper Lee's 1960 novel, won the Pulitzer Prize. And it's just kind of when you think about Americana and you want to say, what exemplifies someone who's a decent human being, who tries to instill all the values of what's right and wrong, teaches kids the same thing. I mean, you could do worse than naming Atticus Finch. Certainly you'd want him to defend you in a trial, although he does lose the trial.
Right.
into Kill a Mockingbird. But, you know, Gregory Peck played him very memorably in the film, won the Oscar for Best Actor. But again, just a very honorable man, a very decent man. And like I said, if I want to exemplify and kind of instill that in those qualities in someone, I would point them to Atticus Finch.
Yeah, I want I don't want my lawyer to be a nice guy. I want him to win the trial. I want to get off. So give me the biggest scumbag in the world to represent me. But I understand.
Better Call Saul. There you go.
Yeah, Better Call Saul when you need a criminal lawyer. That's who I want. Send me Saul Goodman, and you can have Atticus Finch. But great character.
Absolutely.
And like you said, wonderfully played by Peck. Not on my list. Okay, number one of the numbers on my list that's not on your list, Marge Gunderson.
Marge Gunderson, okay.
Don't you know? Yeah, so from Fargo, the Coen brothers' brilliant Fargo, and some, now, I don't think they're involved in the series that FX has done since, but certainly the first two seasons of Fargo were some of the best television made the last 30 years. Fantastic. But Marge Gunderson, played by
Frances McDormand. And she won the Oscar for it that year.
Rightfully so.
Absolutely.
Pregnant. The character is, 8 months pregnant?
You betcha.
Going out in the wild into the freezing tundra to solve some murders. It's an interesting film, Fargo. It opens up the star. It's one of the only films that you can think of that switches the main character. You open up with Jerry. He's your main character. And then you don't like him. He turns out to be the bad guy. And here comes Marge Gunderson at the 28-minute mark, waking up in bed pregnant to go out and solve these crimes. And I love the character. I love the performance. And one of the most unique and memorable performances from the entire decade, I think. So
brilliant. She was brilliant in that movie.
Brilliant in that movie. So not on Scott's list, but on mine. Who else made your list that didn't make mine?
The one I'm going to say that didn't make your list, I am shocked, because this man is solely responsible for saving the world from nuclear annihilation for at least a dozen times.
Right.
James Bond.
Did not make
Agent
my list.
Agent 007.
I find, yeah. Nope.
What's a guy got to do to make your list of top 10 heroes? What a character. I mean, this character that's been around since, I think, Ian Fleming, the author, published it in 1954. Casino Royale was the original thing. Actually, side note, Ian Fleming is cousins with Christopher Lee, actor Christopher Lee,
yes,
who also had some spy stuff in his background. And supposedly they said a lot of Christopher Lee's background, not biographically, but a lot of his involvement in the MI6 and things kind of laid the groundwork for maybe Ian Fleming to create this character. But anyway, 25 movies. Across the board. Again, what's this guy got to do to make your list?
I would say out of the 25 movies, two or three of them have been good. That's
the
issue.
Well, I'm not talking about the quality of the movies. I'm
talking about the heroism of the character. Well, that's the issue. I don't enjoy the
films. The character.
And the character to me is kind of boring. You know, I get it. He drinks his martinis and he drives his car and I get it. But there's not a lot of, because he's meant to be, it's first of all, it's not meant to be one character. The 007 is just the number. And many, it's not meant to be one person. There's rumors now they're going to have the next Bond will be a woman or, a person of color. It's not meant to just be one person. I just never liked the movies that much and never found him to be super interesting, regardless of what they're making him do.
He could be the most boring guy on the planet, but, he's saved us from numerous fanatics trying to destroy the world by flooding it, blowing it up, doing whatnot. So he's the guy you want when the chips are down and you need someone to save you, that 007's getting the job.
All right, well, I'm going to piggyback onto that with the next person on my list, who I would say does all those same things, who did not make your list. Okay. So a little hypocritical, I find, Scott.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt, okay. I did think about that. I was trying to limit spy involvement, so I went with Bond.
Right, so I went with Ethan Hunt from the Mission Impossible series. We're up to how many Mission Impossibles now? I think or eight.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ethan has also saved the world many times from many, and it's also been played by one person, Tom Cruise.
That is true.
So I think that factored in my decision. And also, almost every single Mission Impossible movie is better than any James Bond movie you can pick. There might be one or two.
They're definitely, as far as action goes, you can't top what Tom Cruise is doing in these movies.
He's insane.
The man is insane.
And again, spoiler,
in a good way.
People that know me know this about me. I have a little bit of a man crush on Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise. I recognize that he's insane in many ways, but I just absolutely have such a love for this guy's career and everything he's about. Again, he's nuts. But he's a guy that just his whole life's at 11.
Yeah, and so overlooked for the Academy Award. I mean, there's two or three roles he's played over the years that he should have easily won an Oscar for, and he has yet to
certainly should have been nominated, but he, you know, just this whole story about how he produces his own movies now and these Mission Impossible movies, the stunts just get bigger and bigger and he does them himself. And there's a great story. We can't go into too much of this, you know, today with this podcast, but I love the story that Matt Damon tells about meeting Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise is telling the story about some crazy stunt. I think the woman is running across the building or something in one of the things. He's out on the skyscraper.
He's running in every movie.
The skyscraper. He's like scaling the skyscraper or something. He's telling Matt Damon the story. He's like, so I talked to my stunt coordinator and I tell him the idea. And the stunt coordinator says, you can't do that. Or the safety guy. Safety coordinator says, oh, you can't do that. There's no way. So I go get a different safety coordinator. and so he does the stunt. But that's his whole mentality. He's just going to find somebody to tell him yes. He's going to do it. And again, the Mission Impossible movies are a blast. Ethan Hunt is a fun character.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I find him to be a lot more interesting and fun than James Bond. So I think we were thinking the same things in terms of how we were approaching the list.
I went classic. You went contemporary.
I went more interesting and fun.
Okay, fair enough. That's a reasonable criticism. All right, I'll take the heat on that.
So anyway, that's a couple more here that didn't make both lists. What do you got?
That's on my list that didn't make your list. I am going to go with Robin Hood.
Yes, Robin Hood did not make my list.
Another classic character. As I was kind of thinking through this, I was like, another character that feels like it's been around forever. I mean, there's a lot of debate as to whether it was based on a real figure or was it folklore or a legend or whatever. But I mean, I think it came out of the 13th, 14th century. That's how long this character's been around, robbing from the rich and giving to the poor.
But I can't name one great Robin Hood movie.
The original, the 1939 Errol Flynn. That's a classic.
Movie? It's a classic, but is it a great movie?
Yeah, I would say yes. Right. I would say yes. I mean, there've been a lot. I mean, there's been TV shows. I mean, you had the Kevin Costner.
My favorite one is the Disney one.
With the Fox?
Yeah.
The Fox? No, it's a cute movie. I enjoyed
that's my favorite one.
That's fine. But, you know, this British nobleman fought in the Crusades, comes back. The king is still off fighting the Crusades. I mean, it varies version to version, and his brother is usurping the throne and exploiting the people and terrorizing them and taxing them. So Robin Hood comes back and puts together a band to kind of rebel against that and steal from the rich and give to the poor and kind of make it a little better, everybody's lives a little better. But just a very heroic figure. I felt it warranted, because of all the versions that have been done over the years, I felt it warranted inclusion.
All right. Again, I think I'm taking more of the approach of there has to be a good movie attached as well. But, I mean, your point is a classic, so I certainly understand including the character. Did not make my list, but can't argue in any way for it making your list. Going down my list, let's see. Here's one that made my list that didn't make your list that I was a little surprised about.
Okay.
But you have somebody else from the same universe on your list.
Fair enough.
Han Solo.
Han Solo. Okay.
Han Solo from the original, obviously, Star Wars trilogy. If you're not familiar with Han Solo, what are you doing listening to this? My favorite character from Star Wars. I think most people's favorite character.
I think most people's favorite characters.
Again.
Or character.
So this is twice, two characters that Harrison Ford plays making my list. Han Solo is significantly further down the list.
I think
Indiana
that's
Jones.
What tipped it with the Harrison Ford. I'm like, well, if I was going to pick the Harrison Ford role, which one do I pick? I know what my favorite is.
Right.
Which would be Han Solo, because Star Wars is my favorite movie. But I'm like, well, I lean towards Indiana Jones.
Okay. So I thought about that for a minute too, but in the end, I think both characters, Indiana Jones and Han Solo, have a place. And yes, they're played,
iconic.
Played by the same man. But Han Solo, a little further down the list. But I love Han Solo. Great character. I was sad to see him go in the second trilogy. I guess it was the third trilogy.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
The second one at this point. But yeah, no, it did not make your list. But another character did make your list that did not make my list.
Well, side note, before we get to that, Han Solo, where do you fall on the who shot first?
Han shot first. It's not even
a
question.
Of course he did, right? It's not right. It's not even up for
debate.
I
saw it. I'm old enough to have seen it, so...
I mean, I never understood why they felt the need to do that in the special edition. Because I know Lucas softened. He's like, well, I don't want to make him a killer. But that's kind of what he was. He was a rogue.
He was a scoundrel.
He was an outlaw. He was a
scoundrel. That's what he was.
In the first one. But just the cut that they do. He does this,
brutal.
Like, inhuman shift to the right.
And they kept trying to fix it. And
it
made it
getting worse.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. He clearly shot first. It was part of what made his character interesting and ultimately the redemption angle in the end. And no, most of what Lucas did with the tinkering after the fact was not for the better.
So for everyone within an ear's distance listening to this podcast, Han shot first.
Does anybody
leave it at that?
Nobody's debating that.
No. That's not even up for debate.
Yeah. So anyway, who made your list?
Who made my list? Again, it was a toss-up between the two. Luke Skywalker. Okay. The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Although I guess that's up to debate the way they're taking the films.
Right.
But no, I mean, the man saved the galaxy. You know, a farm boy with dreams
couldn't
of something
have saved
better.
It. Couldn't have saved it without Han Solo.
That is true. That is true. He shot Vader out of the trench and
would have been taken out by Vader behind him if Han Solo hadn't saved the day.
But you know, here's a character that you know, dreamed
if Han
of something
Solo hadn't
bigger.
Blown the shields on Endor, Luke would have been shit out of luck there too.
Okay, well, someone was a little busy on the second Death Star, facing down the Dark Lord of the Sith
right.
and his boss, the Emperor. So he was a little busy than to be bothering with a few, locked doors.
Yeah,
I'm
if it wasn't
sorry.
For Han Solo, Luke would have died in the snow, instead of being warm inside a Tauntaun.
Okay, and he was a little late to show up to save him in The Force Awakens. So, okay,
yeah.
I get your point.
Yeah.
But where I was leaving off was he rose to the occasion, trained as a Jedi, faced down Darth Vader, took Darth Vader out, redeemed his father, spoiler alert,
Uh-huh.
And then, like I said, helped save the galaxy. So
right.
I got to go with Luke Skywalker.
But would have been dead multiple times.
The hero of my favorite movie. How could he not be on the list?
Would have been dead here many times without the heroics of Han Solo. All right, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But I'm going Han, and you're going Luke.
I'm going Luke.
I think that sums up our personalities generally.
Okay, there you go.
So only a couple left here on my list that didn't make yours. Both from the Quentin Tarantino universe.
Really? Heroes yes. from the Quentin Tarantino universe.
Yes, okay. And this might be because we have a Quentin Tarantino episode that we're working on for this podcast, so I've been having to revisit a lot of his films, and so maybe it's because they're fresh in my mind, but yes. First one, Django Unchained, played by Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx, memorably by Jamie Foxx. Great movie.
Great movie. It's a fantastic performance. Mm-hmm. Jamie Foxx is cool as hell in this movie, and Django is just a certified badass. So, saves the day multiple times.
It's high on my Tarantino ranking when we eventually get to that, but yeah.
You know, the role was offered, it was offered to two other people, and we'll talk, more in the Tarantino episode about this, but Will Smith, I think, was the original person.
Yeah.
He turned it down because it wasn't the lead, which is a weird reason to turn it down. I don't believe that's the reason he turned it down ultimately, but I think Will Smith actually, I'm not a big fan of Will Smith these days, but I think Will Smith would have been amazing as Django.
Yeah, that was a,
and the other one was...
It would have redeemed Wild Wild West for Will Smith,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Again, don't always, sometimes playing the lead's not all it's cracked up to be. And the other one was Michael, I'm going to mess up, what's his last name?
Madsen?
No. Michael from The Wire. With the scar.
Oh,
his
I was
face.
Thinking, I thought you were going co-stars in that movie
what
or something.
What is his last name? Michael, he passed away last year. I can't remember. The guy from The Wire with the big scar down his face.
I'm not
Omar
sure.
on the Wire. Remember. He would have been great as well. But Jamie Foxx took the role, absolutely knocked it out of the park, and it's memorable and amazing. And if you haven't, I just revisited this film very recently, and it's probably, if it wasn't for revisiting it recently, Martin Riggs would probably be on this list, but instead it's Django. So that's one, you have two more and I have one more here.
Okay, so let's see, next on my list, I think I've got one more.
You have one more? Okay.
Yeah, just one more for me. So in putting this list together, I could easily have filled the top 10 with just superheroes, but I thought that would be a little boring,
Right. Oh,
it's Captain America and it's Thor and it's Superman, it's this. So I'm like, all right, so I decided to go with the two biggies, one from Marvel, one from DC, DC being my Batman selection. So for Marvel, anyone who knows me knows this character would have to make this list, the Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
This is a character I have loved since my childhood. I continue to love him. I am glad he's finally gotten his cinematic due. He's been played by multiple actors over the years. It took a long time to finally get him on the big screen, But I mean, I was a fan of the original TV series when it came out, as campy and as silly as it is now.
I've never seen
13 episodes, was only one season. Hammond was Spider-Man.
I didn't even know they did a TV series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it started with the cartoon, obviously, you know, the famous Spider-Man theme, the cartoon. Then he was on The Electric Company for a while, which I
all
watched
that.
When I was a kid.
I don't remember the live action.
But then
the,
it was 1977, around the same time the Incredible Hulk series was being done. Nicholas Hammond, who was a child actor from The Sound of Music, played Peter Parker. They changed a lot of things from the comic books. But, you know, I was finally able to see, you know, my childhood hero in flesh and blood in TV. Looking back on it now, it's really cheap and low budget, and the effects are terrible. But there's still a little bit of love to be had with it. But when it finally got made, Sam Raimi did the movie. Tobey Maguire, I thought, was fantastic as Peter Parker. Then that segued to Andrew Garfield, and now we have Tom Holland as the MCU Spider-Man. Although the last movie we brought in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
I like the character a lot. Batman's on my list. If I was going to have a second superhero, I think it would have been Spider-Man as well. I have enjoyed all the movies. Maguire was great. I liked Garfield too, although I think he's like nearly 50 years old now. So, and I liked the last gentleman, the guy's playing him now,
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland's fantastic. Yeah.
I think he's the best Spider-Man we've had so far. I think
I would
he really exemplifies.
And I love the Spider Across the Universe, Spider Universe. The animated film was
those are terrific,
phenomenal. It's a great character. I just decided to go with one superhero, but Spider-Man's a great character.
Yeah, and growing up for me, it was a very relatable character. You know, he was somebody who made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. He was just a kid.
Yeah.
You know, always wanted to do the right thing. But, you know, obviously in the origin story, he makes a mistake. He gets a little pigheaded and ignores a robbery that's taking place. And that robber goes on to murder his uncle. So he's always got that guilt attached to it, which is why he goes out. Very similar to Batman with his parents being murdered.
Yes.
But, you know, he's always trying to do the right thing. And he doesn't always. Sometimes he fails. But, oh, my God, I've loved this character for 50-plus years. And I will continue to see everything they do movie-wise.
Again, I can't argue with it. Did not make my list, but I certainly understand the love and appreciate it for sure. And then the last one on my list that did not make your list, again, going back to the
Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino universe, The Bride.
The Bride. Good choice.
The Bride.
Beatrix Kiddo.
Yes, played by Uma Thurman. Fantastic performance. Challenging performance. But she is a certified badass and... Yeah, absolutely love her in that movie and love her in that role. And I was a little surprised she didn't crack your list, being your background in martial arts and everything.
Mm-hmm. She was on my runner up. I mean, I was again trying to figure out how to make it top 10. I was trying to do a little well rounded with a little historical context with some of these characters. But I can't argue with it. That is a great movie, a great character, and a great performance.
Yep, and again, so I think in total, I think it's 4 women on my list in my top 10, so it's almost 50-50, so a lot of great performances here by both men and women. So, Scott, I know you had a little bit of a list. Let's do a lightning round real quick before we rank them.
Oh, runners-up?
Runners-up, real quick. Who do you got?
Okay, well, I mean, going back to the comic book world, I mean, I was going back and forth between Batman and Superman, so Superman didn't make the list, but certainly...
I am not a fan of Superman.
Well, I mean, you know, the first real comic book character.
I get it, but, like, I don't think there's been a good Superman movie. I find the character to be boring.
Not even the original 1978 Christopher Reeve? Oh, blasphemy.
I love Batman. Spider-Man's cool as hell. And the Hulk. There's a lot of superheroes.
There's not as much depth.
I'm not a
Superman.
Superhero
yeah.
fan, but there are certain ones I like a lot. Superman
one. Oof. Well, I mean, again, thought it was worthy of conclusion.
No, it's certainly worthy of mentioning. Yeah.
I mean, I had Mad Max.
Good one.
Mad Max Rockatansky, his last name.
Okay.
He's played by Mel Gibson in 3 films, and now Tom Hardy in 1. We've got another prequel set in the Mad Max universe coming out soon with Furiosa. So we'll see where they go with that. Dirty Harry Callahan.
Mm.
Clint Eastwood, to me, Clint Eastwood's signature role. A lot of people say the man with no name, but for me, it's
Dirty Harry.
I mean, I love the original film, which we'll get to on our villain list, hint, hint. Again, one of my favorite characters. I mean, I'll just go through a lot of them. I had John Rambo I talked about earlier. Jason Bourne. I was considering Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
But I'm like, most of his stuff is really saving himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of on the run from people out to get him. So
good movie. He's played well by Matt Damon. I didn't even think of him for this.
Yeah. Thinking of when my To Kill a Mockingbird inclusion with Atticus Finch, I'm like another person who I think has very heroic qualities, Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would think he's a hero, you know, helping this kid, you know, who's getting beat up all the time, teaching him karate and a greater outlook on life. I thought he was nice. Didn't make the top 10. I couldn't put him against
James Bond.
But yeah, Flash Gordon, Neo, Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor was the closest one. She was 9. Her and Martin Riggs, I think, would probably be the two closest ones to my top 10 that didn't make it. She, played by Lyndall Hamilton, absolutely fantastic, completely jacked and kick-ass
fantastic
role in T2 especially. T1 too, but T2, she really, yeah, really
and,
was awesome.
And nurturing along a child that's going to save the world. So that yes, whole save the world motif, yeah, that I keep falling back on almost made my list. And then the other only other person I had worth mentioning, probably my favorite John Carpenter character, Snake Plissken.
Played
by Kurt Russell.
We can't do an episode of this podcast without talking about Kurt Russell.
I mean, is he a hero?
He's an anti-hero.
He'll do the right thing when he's forced to do
right,
it. But otherwise, he doesn't want to do anything. He just
right,
wants to, you know, live on the edge, so to speak, and do his own thing. But again, you know, when duty calls and, you know, you're strapping a bomb in his neck or a pellet in his neck that's going to kill him, he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, if motivated properly, he will get it done for you. So that's,
you got?
That's you know, again, I had Riggs and I had, you know, I toyed around with Schwarzenegger's character in Terminator 1 and 2, making both these hero and villain lists.
Okay.
But didn't make either, spoiler right, alert on the, but could have, you know, I thought that would have been an interesting thing. So, you know, I think we covered, between the two of us, I don't think I have many more, you know, than you had other than Riggs and that was it. But yeah, good, again, I think good, all these characters are heroes and they're all in their own way, you know, all the actors playing them were great. And I think for the most part, these are the defining roles of these actors that we've talked about.
Yeah. And with most of these characters, I think we're still getting, they're all still going strong.
Right.
You know, we're on the verge of a new Bond. We're getting a Pattinson sequel for Batman. There's another Spider-Man in the works. I think Indiana Jones, we just had one. So I think that ship has now sailed.
Yeah.
More aliens coming, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd bring back Sigourney Weaver, but not.
But yeah, all these, you know, again, I think, you know, all these characters are mostly the career defining characters for all the actors playing.
Absolutely.
Them, so. All right. Well, let's rank them up.
Okay.
Let's see what the
how do you rank heroism? I mean,
we're going to do our best to pop rank the heroes of cinema.
The heroes of cinema.
So starting with my number 10, I've got Django from Django Unchained.
Okay, my number 10 is Rocky Balboa.
Wow, it's way down the list there.
Well, again, in the grander scale of things, I put Rocky on the lower
fair
end.
Enough. Number 9, sticking in the Tarantino universe, going with The Bride from Kill Bill.
Okay, my number 9 is Robin Hood.
All right, number 8, my list, Marge Gunderson. Don't you know?
From Don't you know?
The Coen Brothers' Fargo.
My number eight. My number 8, John McClane.
Okay, John McClane. Number 7 on my list, Han Solo.
Han Solo. My number 7, Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird.
All right, number 6 on my list of the greatest heroes in cinema history, Ethan Hunt. From the Mission Impossible franchise.
My number 6 is Ripley, or Ellen Ripley, as she's called in the Alien films.
All right, number 5 on my list, Rocky Balboa.
Okay, my number 5, Indiana Jones.
Wow, okay. Number 4 on my list, John McClane from the Die Hard series.
Okay, there we go. My number 4, James Bond.
All right.
What's a guy got to do?
Well, you got to be Ethan Hunt.
Okay.
Number 3 on my list, Ellen Ripley from Aliens.
My number 3 is Batman, The Dark Knight.
All right, number 2 on my list, Batman, Dark Knight.
Okay, there you go. My number 2, Luke Skywalker.
All right, again, wouldn't have done anything without Han Solo saving his ass every time, but, you know, I digress.
Fair enough.
And number 1 on my list, Indiana Jones.
And my number 1, no surprise, Spider-Man.
So that's our top 10 heroes in the history of cinema. Tell us what you think in the comments. Write in. Let us know. Did we get it right? Did we get it completely wrong? Who do we leave off? Who would you like to see included? and let us have it.
And I'm going to have one last word. I'm going to say Han Solo went up against Darth Vader. Darth Vader used the Force, grabbed his blaster from him. What's he going to do at that point? Nothing. So there you go. I'll keep that going, but
All right.
I'm sticking with Luke Skywalker.
So that's our top 10 list. If you want to hear all of the reasons why, you listen to the rest of the episode. And thanks for joining us today on Pop Ranks. Again, my name is Eric Wickstrom.
My name is Scott Carroll.
And we'll see you next time. And check out the companion piece to this one, which is where we rank the best villains in the history of cinema.
Thanks for listening to Pop Ranks, an IDC production. Produced and hosted by Scott Carroll and Eric Wickstrom. Audio engineer, Paul Levin. Executive producer, Marcy Gilbert. Remember to like and subscribe.